Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the Nerds Watching Wrestling Podcast, R.P. Toriyama. I'm going to have a moment of silence for Goku, 10 seconds. I am the Southern Wrestling Scholar, ZJ Pierce, in the booth with me this evening. JQ and the Reaper, how y'all doing, gentlemen?
As always, baby, it was a good week because wrestling was on.
It was a good week in general, but we're here. We're here, folks.
It was great. Like, Sting retired, so I'm a little sad. Sting was actually like, my guy. Like, when I first got into TNA and I watched his comeback in 2010, like, and then went back and watched his career all the way up through to his Surfer WCW days and the AWA days. Like, bro, Sting was like the GOAT for a while.
Yeah, man.
And now he's gone.
That is truly the end of an era right there, like, for real.
But we got all the backlash from Revolution and this week in wrestling. But let's go ahead.
Said backlash.
Not backlash.
The wrestling poet. Slaps knee.
But before we get into that, we have word on the WWE Hall of Fame. First and foremost, Paul Heyman is going in the hall. Paul E. Dangerous.
Yes.
Manager in WCW, obviously the noted founder of Extreme Championship Wrestling, and in my opinion, the greatest professional wrestling manager WWE has ever seen. Argue with your mama. I'm down on the hill. Paul Heyman is the greatest. Like,
Paul Heyman is the greatest because he learned from the greatest. Absolutely. It's just simple as that. I will give him that because I watched this guy literally evolve as I grew the f*** up. Like, first time I saw him was here in CWF. Mm-hmm. With the old school bigger than dude from Saved by the Bell phone with the antenna cracking people over the head.
Oh, with that little wacky
and
mullet.
To see him now, dude, he deserves it all the way.
Like, I can't wait. And then how fitting that he's going in the Hall of Fame in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Like, the home of the most revolutionary professional wrestling organization in the world. ECW. Like, so many men owe their career to Paul Heyman. And then, like I said, like, my opinion, the greatest manager WWE has ever seen, managing the likes of Redacted here, Kurt Angle, Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Big Show, Rob Van Dam. Like, good job, Paul.
They're Redacted here.
That's just in WWE. That's just WWE.
Man, that's just his WWE management.
Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Lex Luger. I can't remember everybody who was a part of the Dangerous Alliance off the top of my head. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. He actually, his list tops Bobby Heenan's list.
That's a statement right there.
Like, for real. Like, if not topping it, it's on that level because I had a convo with somebody. I won't say this right now. But the one thing Bobby Heenan had was, one, he was a wrestler, and then he also came up through the territories. But he had, if not the greatest, but one of the greatest attractions ever, Andre the Giant.
Right, and that's a standout.
I mean, like, he only world champion to note that he managed besides Bob, the AWA champion. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but also Ric Flair, you know. But his stable, the list of his stable is ridiculous. And Paul Heyman's is damn near on that level, for real.
So, speaking of AWA champions, former AWA and NWA tag team champions, the U.S. Express also joining the Hall of Fame. Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda. Quite famously, the parents of second generation superstars Bo Dallas and the late great Bray Wyatt was tearing it up in the tag team scene back in the 80s and 90s, and now taking their hallowed place in the fame. Like, when we do tag team wrestling, we gonna represent hard, and like, just the caliber of of the two athletes that Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda would go on to become is tremendous. Like,
how fitting is it? 40th anniversary? They were on the card for the first.
They were on the first WrestleMania?
They were on the first WrestleMania, brother. Yes, sir.
Like, you got to level with things. Come full circle. Also joining the Hall of Fame, Bull Nakano.
Yes.
Like, yes, trailblazer in getting Japanese women's wrestling over in the Western countries, like in the Western side of the world. Her feud with Alundra Blaze really put in more, like really did put a focus on women's wrestling at the time. You know, to Medusa, when the Medusa did all up. And but like before that, like without Alundra and Bull Nakano, like the rise of people like Bertha Faye and them, like yes, like your early women's division, like wouldn't have gotten as much traction without them.
Exactly, man. I remember watching plenty of times Bull would wrestle like 20-minute matches, dude. She had gas in the tank. She was good, yeah. Yeah, Bull was a worker, bro. She was no slouch. She was not lazy in that ring. She got over real big. I just wish you guys could saw it. You know what I'm saying? Live like I did. And then she could fly. She could fly.
Getting up out there and doing it.
All right, so it's safe to say it's pretty much safe to say without the likes of Bull Nakano and the Jumping Ball Angels, like it would have been real hard to see people like Asuka and Io.
Absolutely.
And Kairi Sane over here making a name for themselves. So
can I just say, damn, like that reference, bro.
Oh, you think SWS is just a cute little nickname?
Okay, like,
We do this.
All right,
this. But with that being said, congratulations to Paul Heyman. Congratulations to Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, and the U.S. Express on y'all upcoming inductions into the 2024 WWE class of the Hall of Fame. But right now, from one Hall of Famer to another, we're going to move on and talk about this week in wrestling. And we start this week with Tony Khan Promotions, AEW. We're going to run through Revolution and Dynamite. Then we're going to hop back into WWE so we can talk about everything leading up to Friday Night SmackDown. Because basically, Monday Night Raw was just watch SmackDown. Like Monday night.
Didn't you say that last week?
I did, and they did, and they basically did it again. Like y'all, I have like a quarter of a page of notes from Raw because the meat and potatoes of Raw is going to happen on SmackDown, but there is some stuff on Raw I got to address.
I agree with you. I was focused more on gaming than watching my other television screen.
Like so, yeah, we got to get through this. We're gonna muscle through it, but we're gonna start with Tony Khan's Promotions and AEW. Revolution, probably one of the best shows they put on, period. Like, beautiful card. Like, wasn't too stagnated. Every match had time to breathe. Everybody had a little chance to shine. Obviously, we'll get into the match of the night as we go along. But started off the pay-per-view hot with Christian Cage defending his TNT championship against Daniel Garcia. This being the result of Christian interfering in the number one contenders match between Garcia and Adam Edge Copeland, and ultimately taking out Adam Copeland with the concerto. And Dan Garcia had a uphill battle to climb as he took on the patriarchy. Do you have any thoughts on Christian Cage's tactics as TNT champion using the patriarchy to his advantage, like Kill Switch and Mother Wayne and Nick Wayne?
I mean, they're there, ain't it? They ain't doing nothing else, especially Kill Switch. We changed his name. He really not doing nothing. Like, homie's name is the name of my finisher.
It is the name of his finisher.
No, we're not doing that.
Obviously, the patriarchy did get involved in the match with Daddy Magic Matt Menard trying to even the odds, sort of clearing the ring, but obviously it wasn't enough for Daniel Garcia to overcome Christian Cage getting hit with the actual Kill Switch.
Because who is Daddy Magic? Quickly.
Commentator. Right now. Commentator and former member of the Jericho Appreciation Society whose partner is getting beat up by Terrell's brother.
And that speaks to his wrestling acumen how?
Do you want to take a swing at me?
Yes, and you'll fall, and I'll win a match right off the swing. So, like, what?
Hey, man, like, I only got a limited amount of friends as Daniel Garcia because Jericho don't mess with us like that no more.
Because y'all left him. Wait, okay. Wow. How you turn your back on me and then get mad because I'm not doing for you?
Hey. Like, I didn't book it.
I didn't book it. It's diabolical.
Next up on the card, Eddie Kingston defended his Continental Crown against Bryan Danielson. And just a hard-hitting match. Everything you expect from Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson rematches, it was there. This, more importantly, wasn't about the Continental Crown. This was more about Eddie Kingston finally getting the respect he wanted from Bryan Danielson. And boy, did Bryan Danielson beat that respect into Eddie Kingston. Multiple knees, suplexes, locks, holds. But obviously, the Continental Crown champion, Eddie Kingston, was not going down without a fight, barely squeezing out a powerbomb to put the American Dragon down. Afterwards, Bryan Danielson finally shook Eddie Kingston's hand with him in and on a good note. I'm just so proud of Eddie Kingston, the wrestler.
Did you see the footage from the locker room?
I did. Like you said, all the championships and all the championships, all the crowd approval, like, that's cute or whatever. He does it
for the boys.
For the boys. And Bryan Danielson, being the caliber of wrestler that he is, above all else, I would want the respect of someone like that. And to finally get it, like, you can hear it in his voice. It meant the world to finally be respected by Bryan.
Man, I remember when I first saw Eddie Kingston in TNA, I didn't like him. I just didn't like him. But his run, watching him grow, like, he's unbelievable champion, dude. He puts everything into the match. He's earned my respect. I'm nobody, but I respect that SOB, dude. That's a tough son of a bitch.
Like, that's a tough man. The man out here grinding, he's keeping it real. He was one of the first ones to, like, actually show you what his real struggle is and wear it on his sleeve. Like, yo, I'm this, I come from this, I'm not here for this. Like, this man, like, values the Japanese traditions and honors of professional wrestling. And it's very evident in his style. And, like, yes, like, if it's all based on, and if in, at the end of the day, when it's all based on honor, and I want to be honored by the very best, which is why a lot of my top feuds, came out on top, I wanted your handshake. I wanted the handshake of Chris Jericho. I wanted the bond with Jon Moxley. I wanted that handshake from Claudio Castagnoli. I wanted that handshake from Daniel Bryan, because y'all are some of the best.
Mm. Like, that they are.
So, like, yes, like, in order to prove that I belong with the best, I need them to acknowledge me. So, Eddie Kingston, we acknowledge you, my boy. Oh, like, yeah, we acknowledge the Mad King this way.
Insert Roman Reigns music soundbite.
Yes.
You mean Joe? Anyway,
what happened to KC?
Next up, we have the eight-man. All right. Next, we have the 8-man all-star match, where we just, like, it was supposed to be an original Meat Mountain match, but this was just a showcase of AEW's 8 top talents. We had Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, a little tongue-tied, the Murder Hawk, Lance Archer, Wardlow, Dante Martin, Hook, Brian Cage, and from CMLL, Magnus. Everyone got their time to shine, but this was, especially when it came to your big beefy guys like your Wardlows, your Archer, and your Powerhouse, this was mostly a showcase for them, but they didn't let the little guys, like, catch no slack. We had some great interviews between Hook and Brian Cage. Obviously, Chris Jericho and Powerhouse Hobbs with their feud with the Callis family still somewhat in play. I don't know. Like, it's the Callis family.
I guess they feud.
I'm saying, but this night ultimately belonged to Wardlow of the Undisputed Kingdom, coming away.
Because I got to win that title then hand it over to Adam Cole, baby. Like,
yeah, until I'm not doing that.
Like, so until I'm
not doing that.
Oh, yeah, going club him over the face with it.
Kick him out that wheelchair.
I hand it over to him when he's clear. So he's going to, like, I supposedly handed to a standing Adam Cole, but I am instead just going, you know,
going to win
bean shawty. Like,
I'm going to win this
world. This title? Like, all right, here you go. I have a whole carton of cigarettes. But, like,
I'm going to win that world title. They're going to come out to celebrate. I'm immediately kicked the wheelchair over.
Oh, just dip.
Oh, man.
Here you go, bad. Hot Wheels. And just out that ring.
Damn. That's messed up.
And just leaving that ring.
Ooh, really? Ridiculous. With this win, Wardlow is now the number one contender to the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Kudos to him. Next,
Not for nothing. This is all. We also just did all that assuming Wardlow beating Samoa Joe. Like that was all that was.
That was all under the assumption that Warlow could beat some other Joe.
Joe gonna put him down, like, and put down most of the kingdom to do it too.
I'm saying next up on the card, Roderick Strong took on Orange Cassidy for the International Championship. And in this match, this was just about Roderick Strong reminding y'all why my nickname is Messiah of the Backbreaker. Because Jeebus, H. Christo,
everything
on that back was delivered to the back. It was one time, I want to say, what was like an angle slam almost, or... It was like a suplex or something.
You
like
mean the Alpha Male water slide.
Yeah, that gut wrench where I just like got him up and then just fell from the turnbuckle, just dropped him on that turnbuckle. Like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, shout out to Orange Cassidy for going as long as he did, but boy, Roderick Strong was not here to play with y'all. End of heartache. Give me this belt.
Yes, sir.
We have a new AEW International Champion. This reign wasn't as good as Orange Cassidy's first run, but Orange Cassidy definitely being the fighting champion every week.
He
was a breath of fresh air.
Right now, he's the greatest.
Every time, I think I need to fight Orange Cassidy. Pulls up, all right, ring now, belt, go.
Like, just get
anybody backstage in an interview with Miss Paquette. All right, hey, Renee, how's it going? I think I need to fight Orange Cassidy. Pulls up, all right, go.
All right, let's get it.
But, hey, keep talking about that match, though.
But the big story coming out of that title match is that afterwards, Kyle O'Reilly returned to the AEW ring.
Yes. Cool, Kyle.
Like, after it being like nearly 2 years.
He came in that
years.
Thing looking like a whole fan.
Dude,
homie was in that thing looking like Kyle from Section C. Do you hear me? Like, baby bought a ticket and thought this is a WrestleMania experience. Like...
He did. Ooh, dude, he looked like that average person.
So we're not going to catch that? Oh. It's a wrestler. It's Kyle. All right.
I'm just glad to see him back, yo.
That was after all that, thinking he was a fan, realizing who he was. And then, the happiness came.
Was it Tony? Tony Giovanni? He was the one who said, it's Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay. That's all right. That's a whole dude right there. Okay. Kyle, welcome back, buddy. Like,
tragic.
Can't wait to see you.
Welcome back, Kyle O'Reilly. Cannot wait to see what you're going to do.
I
heard Roger Stone, told him congratulations, and then I looked at the rest of the kingdom like, okay. And then like,
whispered something in his ear and then left. Hugged him, said congrats, hit him with that.
And then
rolled about that ring.
What y'all think is going to happen from this?
This is undisputed. And then leave.
I like that.
You're
hell
not
yeah.
an Arab boy no more. Yo, Jordan's fake.
Yo, Jordan's fake. That's egregious.
Oh, man.
This is gonna be good. Take care and inside your forces smell like barbecue.
This is going to be good.
Inside your forces smell like barbecue rub. Fix it.
Next up, and just bapping each other for the fun of it, tag team action, FTR took on the Blackpool Combat Club's John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli.
You say bapping each other for the fun of it. Blackpool, the House of Black hurt people for the fun of it, and the Blackpool Combat Club do too. Like, no, that ain't bapping, that's pain.
They came out in their best role warrior gear. Like, they had a little show pad, little spike.
Like, little spike is crazy.
Little shoulder pad, little spike, little Moxley. Like, wild thing.
Little Moxley is wilder than crazy, but like... All right.
But yeah, baby, like, it was an FTR, Claudio, and John Moxley tag match. Like, what? Like, obviously a step up from their television match a couple weeks ago. Thankfully, we didn't have to worry about a time limit draw. Just, you know, John Moxley decided that y'all don't deserve air no more and choking them out. Like, Moxley and Claudio just, like, first of all, like, Johnny Gargano and FTR and Tommaso Ciampa to set the standard because, like, what they love doing now is trying to repeat this double tap out spot between FTR and whoever they facing. Like, no, the all story don't call for that. The DIY story called for that.
Like, baby, last time FTR tried to go for a near fall, like, who was it? Bullet Club Gold, like, won a match clean off him, like, won that match at 3.0001. Like, these near falls don't work in your favor no more, bro. Because, like, the referee hand go down, that's it. I'm out of the ring. Like, I won't see you later. Bye.
But nah, this time we just choked both of them out for
the just like, all right.
Like, Moxley and Claudio just put them both to sleep.
I mean, you can't win if you can't breathe.
Exactly.
Like.
Then in women's division action, Timeless, Toni Storm took on Deonna Purrazzo with a little bit of mind games with the help of Mariah May, who very convincingly looked like baby, Tony Storm. Boy,
everybody thought it until it was like hold on.
That was the swerve of the night. Swerve
right of the century right there. Like,
why Mariah May came out looking like Tony Storm.
Yeah. Little segue. She has started just, that is not her gear. Like,
yeah, she gave it to her.
The throwback Tony Storm is now the Mariah May wrestling gear. Mm-hmm.
Boy, I love this Mickie James angle so much.
Man,
it's like, love this Mickie James
angle. I love it that Tony is making it, Timeless Tony is selling it.
You know?
Like, dude, I knew it was real when my daughter was like, Daddy, who is that? I was like, dude, you just don't know.
Like, that is the timeless woman. Like, she defeated Deonna on the night to retain the women's championship, and it was a pretty okay match. Like, it wasn't none. Two memorable, unfortunately. Like I said, it was an AEW women's match.
It was a women's match between women. It was a great show. Each other, like, so it was just a cut and dry wrestling match.
Like, Deonna and Tony did what they could. Like, they tried to show up as much as they could, especially like Deonna finally getting the title match. Because like, if it's one thing the Virtuosa does well, it's championship match. But the night did belong to Timeless Tony Storm, because obviously this belt was going to somebody who's debuting in a week's time, but whatever. Now it's time for the 5-star match of the night, brought to you by Will Ospreay. Yes, the Callis family put on a banger as him and Konosuke Takeshita just went out there and yeared in that ring for just went out there and knee and it's suplex like, and throw and bread at one point. Like, Will Ospreay hit the Cheeky Nandos on the corner right there and tried to go for a Frankenstein. Takeshita sold the Cheeky Nandos and then just looked at him on the head corner like, oh, I was supposed to sell that. Nah. Like,
boy, there was so much match in that match.
Like, it was so good to be able to name, like I said, beside the spot I just named, like, it's impossible to name something that, like, I want to say it was an angle.
The kick out at one after a hidden blade was maddening.
That brain buster on that corner was upsetting. Like, they asked him at the media scrum, how's your back?
And he
showed them.
I read from like waist to butt cheek.
And then, once again, when I say that, like, I thought it was Chad Gable for a minute, but boy, Konosuke Takeshita and these Germans, like, are not here to play with you.
Snap German for the win.
Jeebus. But like, snap German for the win, and win of Takeshita usually, but not Hidden Blade for the win. But in this match, because Will Ospreay
gonna throw that elbow in the front of your face or the back of your head.
Like, Ospreay is now officially All Elite.
Oh yeah, because when Takeshita kicked out of the Tiger Driver 91, like that one. Yeah, because that one took out Kenny.
Right, so yeah, we had to put him down with
the second
Hidden Blade. But like, yeah, now the Will Ospreay is All Elite. We can expect these basic 5-star matches on a daily basis. Because like we said, Will Ospreay's base setting is 5-star.
Like, I was remembering what we said. We was like, yeah, Will Ospreay's base is just 5. Like,
Will Ospreay's base is like, 5 stars.
I'm gonna give you a 5-star match. The additional stars depends on the opponent. I Will Ospreay, I'm going to give you 5 stars.
I remember old school. You remember Kevin, who used to be outside the bar? Yo, he the one who put me on that kid. I never heard of him, so he mentioned that guy, like, straight up. But hell yeah. Billy, that dude is very talented.
We don't call him the GOAT for nothing.
He's very talented. WWE, yeah.
Billy the GOAT Ospreay.
We get a return package for the Boston Pop.
I don't think you can say that first word. This is a children's bro.
That's his name. Like that, like Justin Roberts going to say it with enthusiasm. Oh, yeah. The first chance he gets. So don't tell me.
They call him the best.
Going to blow his lips out on Turner Broadcasting Station like it ain't nobody been.
Oh, he going to blow that mic.
Like, talk about it. I can't say that's his nickname. But once again, like congratulations to Pac. Good to see that he's back. Samoa Joe, Hangman, and Swerve for the AEW World Championship took place next, which can only be described as Hangman and Swerve 3. I mean, Hangman and Swerve 4, featuring Samoa Joe. Also, Samoa Joe reminding y'all why I am in TNA's first ever 5-star match and why that 5-star match is a triple threat match. I am the triple threat god. But yeah, like, basically, at any point in time, Swerve or Hangman could have been world champion. Had they not decided to focus on each other.
Somebody said Hangman tapped out just so Swerve couldn't win.
And then, like it ain't even, because it's not even about me no more. Like, those two are so, like, bro, like, Hangman Page had to match one himself three times. But instead, I see Swerve over there looking like he finna move. So, like, not even moving, looking like he finna move.
That dread just flipped. Let me go. I'll be right back, Joe. All right, that dread just moved. Hold on. I'll be right back, sir.
And hey, you know, Swerve, I'm going to get my lick back. So. Yeah,
I'm going to get mine when you come get me.
So, yeah, when Samoa Joe finally got the upper hand, like, you got to think about it. Did Hangman tap because he knew he couldn't get out? Or did Hangman tap because, you know, if I did, this match ends and Swerve can't get the title?
Nanny.
If I can't have it, you
can't have it. If I can't have it, you can't have it either.
And that worked out perfectly when I tapped out because you didn't get it.
And still AEW World Champion Samoa Joe, the King of the Triple Threat.
Samoa Joseph.
Yes, yes.
Like the realest Joe in all of Samoa.
Samoa Joseph.
And in the main event.
Okay.
Paycheck.
Sting and Darby Allin took on Matthew and Nicholas Jackson for the AEW World Tag Team Championships in a tornado tag team match in what would be Sting's retirement match. Sting came out with his sons, with one of his sons dressed up as Surfer Sting, his other sons dressed in the Wolfpack garb. And then, you know, actual Sting coming out as Sting. And, yeah, like this, like Tornado Tab moves might as well just mean TLC.
I mean, Tornado Tag is no DQ, so, like,
I'm talking about was just, what you want to do, was just doing whatever they wanted to each other.
Get out there and match. Like,
them four men just went out there and did whatever they wanted to each other. Obviously, the highlight of that match being when Darby Allin sat up here and put that glass on them shelves.
It's real glass. Deal with it.
Hey, did they really have warning signs?
They had warning signs saying, please be careful. Like if you're in the front row, please be attentive.
TLDR, front row people, hey.
Front row people, like, something may or may not happen that you may or may not want to be watching out for.
Right. TLDR, front row people, AEW is currently LLC just during this match. So,
AEW is LLC,
baby. So, like, enjoy the show.
And then Darby Allin hit the world's, oh, my God, what is that?
And then Darby Allin hit the world's, oh, my God, what is that? Because we knew better. But this ain't the indies, baby. I don't care if they tell me I got to sell that. I'm gonna move. I ain't winning.
You know, just front flip through a pane of glass.
Just a pane of glass.
Just did it to himself.
In the words of Jack Perry, it's real glass.
Which then left Sting at the mercy of the Young Bucks. But you know, Sting gonna Sting after you know you attack Ric Flair and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. You put your feet on the steamboat.
Boy, Ric Flair had that little stunned icon on top of him from the 2K game after that super kick.
Like, that's why Ricky Steamboat got a vocal.
Flair shot him with that one kick. He ain't moving, bro.
Like, Flair went to sleep, so we had to get Steamboat in to, like, come do the rest of the stuff.
Oh, boy, that invisible hot tag was crazy.
Oh, that is so cool.
Because, like, as soon as they pop on Steamboat, they pop Steam with a double super kick, then Steam, you know, oh, y'all forgot. I'm Sting.
Yes, sir. No, baby, the Sting just forgot to sell is what that was, but it's okay. Like, it was your last man, baby. You couldn't take a fall. It was all right. You couldn't take the fall, sugar. It's okay. Woo child.
But yes, Sting and Darby end up getting the win after the coffin drop, Scorpion Deathlock combination. Sting retires as AEW Tag Team Champion. Sting retires from AEW undefeated.
Yes. 29-0. If I'm not mistaken, right?
32.
Oh, 32-0? No? Okay.
32-0.
Y'all didn't touch my reign.
Like, but all that.
Did that.
All that. Is
Big Stinger.
It's no Big disrespect, Sting. Bro. No disrespect, but even Sting himself, Steve Barton, ain't that his name?
Yes, he knew he broke tradition. Like, he didn't want to break tradition. He wanted to go out on his show.
Oh, no, not that.
I thought you were going to break
tradition. Oh, no, hell no.
Like, bro,
even,
like.
Even he knows deep down inside, I just proved that I can wrestle for, what was it, 3-4 years?
Yeah, about 3 on.
3 years. High level. Why the hell, why can I get my boy Taker at WrestleMania?
Because Triple H wanted him.
I'm not even gonna go through that. But
like, yeah, because you gotta remember that same WrestleMania, Undertaker fought Bray Wyatt while Triple H got that steam match. So like, you gotta take that up with Paul Levesque.
I was
Phil Brooke talking to Paul
Levesque. He proved that that match could still, it could have happened, bro. It could happen, but
also Seth broke his neck. Like Seth did break Sting's neck.
Okay, but Sting wrestled at AEW high level for 3 more years.
Because I ain't had to go through WWE doctors. WWE doctors be on another one.
There we go.
Like remember, like WWE doctors don't like to clear you if you, especially if you've been through something tragic. Like
once you get that first C word, go on get behind that C word and have a commentary after that, baby.
Like remember how long it took for us to get actual Daniel Bryan back?
Baby, from concussion to commentary to tragic story.
I already knew he wasn't gonna be there.
He also never had a single match.
They put him with Darby
Allin was everything.
Darby Allin was out there being the safety.
Yeah, I actually knew that.
But yes, that was AEW Revolution. 4.5 stars to me. Like, obviously, I just wish they would do more with the women, but because that match was a little lacking, and I could have done without the All-Star 8-Man match. Like, if y'all still want to do Meat Madness, we could have just did Archer versus Warlow versus Powerhouse and versus Cage. Like, but other than that, like, yeah, one of AEW's better pay-per-views. Meat. And we just going to bleed that seamlessly into this week's episode of Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Light the fuse, drop the boom, dynamite. We don't do that no more because we got a new thing.
It's all about the boom.
We open with Tony Schiavone in the ring, and Swerve Strickland comes out to address his loss. And like I said, turns the baby, it's the baby faces. Like, this the same man who broke into somebody's house and talked to the kid. But like,
that's exactly what he said. He mentioned all that. He mentioned being a guy that, you know, hung a man, went in the man's house, like was looking at his kid. The diabolical thing was putting your shirt there. Like, you looked at my kid, yeah, you talked to him, you put your shirt by him, like, you don't get that out of here. Outside germ ass shirt by my kid.
But yeah, he says he's starting to feel like he's just gonna be like supposed to be in the place of like getting close to the big time and not making it, like kind of feeling unworthy. But you know, the crowd ain't letting him have none of that. Whose house?
Swerve's house. Oh, yeah. He's over.
I still say that, like, your hometown crowd should have been the crowd to turn you face, but that's a story for another time.
But he says he won't let us down and that he will beat the man who immediately comes up and interrupts him, Samoa Joe, who says Swerve's house only exists.
I didn't lose the triple threat angle.
Kind of.
Alright, I didn't lose that match, so let me get a run back.
Like, kind of.
You lost the match. Both of y'all got an L on y'all record for that match, but here we are.
However, the Undisputed Kingdom comes out with the big gnaw, no. Adam Cole comes out to tell story time, you know, basically tops off the rest of the kingdom, like Roderick Strong, champion.
Story time from that wheelchair, like, better look like grandma. You can throw a little blanket over his lap. Start rocking him a little bit. He probably go to sleep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, said Roger Strong, new international champion. The Kingdom, Matt Taven, and Mike Bennett, ROH Tag Team Champions. Number one contender, Wardlow.
I was going to ask you at the start of this, was the Kingdom still ROH Tag Team Champions? Because I forgot. I bet other people did, too. No, I did. What was the last ROH Tag Team match they didn't have?
The one that they won the titles in. But,
which was...
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Appreciate it.
So obviously, missed all that talking. Swerve, you know, made the match, like, run that tag team match. Adam Cole said next week. Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone said, nah, right now. So
Right now.
Well, basically, it was just a one-upsmanship game between Samoa Joe and Swerve, with Swerve obviously getting the big upsmanship. Like, after I made that tag in from Joe just sat on the apron and watched me work, hit Big Pressure, the newly named JML driver, for the win. Like, yes, it's just called Big Pressure. Like,
immediately, no.
Immediately. If y'all would have saw how he looked at me when I said the JML driver is now Big Pressure.
Immediately, no.
Big Pressure! One, two, three.
No, I'm going to put that over there with Big Swole and like not to have that exist in AEW. Appreciate it.
Tell it to Excalibur. After the match, Wardlow comes down because, you know, number one contender, Wardlow. And you know, Samoa Joe,
you look so menacing at your third run to try to get a title. This is so cute, sweetheart. I guess third time might be the charm or whatever.
Afterwards, while Wardlow's looking all intimidating, Samoa Joe comes up behind Swerve and, you know, chokes him out because y'all please remember that I'm the AEW world champion. Once again, y'all are hungry because I'm starving you. And like, yeah, promo was heat. And Swerve, your house exists in my world. Please, like,
promo was heat.
Up next,
is it women's action?
No. Nah. We're gonna keep this extreme train rolling as Hook defended his FTW championship against Brian Cage.
You said extreme and then said a very mild match. I'm not sure.
Under FTW rules.
Oh, okay.
Like, very mild match. Oh, baby, you didn't watch AEW this week, Bat. Okay, so like the moment I'm just putting the child through a guardrail that I've set up in the corner. Like,
I mean, hey, bro, hook about it.
Like I said, like, everybody went extreme this week. Cause like I said, I'm gonna put this like at the third. I'm honestly gonna put this at number three of the three extreme matches we got this week. Cause obviously, same retirement match up there. Number two, we'll talk about later when we get into NXT. But yeah, people like FTW rules match. Like, Brian Cage, being as swole as he is, tried everything I could, including the F5 onto a chair to put down Young Hook. But you know, Hook is from Brooklyn, Red Hood, and the moment I lock that red rum in, not even backdropping me in some thumbtacks is gonna get me off of you. Because like, I definitely, because like
red rum means backwards. Like, it's okay, folks. Like, that's it.
So I definitely put Mr. Brian Cage to sleep,
which is a feat in itself.
Like, very good. Like, very happy for him. Kyle O'Reilly says that he has to do these things on his own now. Let's see. Oh, also, before that happened, like, my bad, skip right over that. Chris Jericho comes out and saves Hook from a Gates and Agony beatdown because, you know, Mogul MC ride together, roll together, all that good stuff.
Just don't win together. It's all right.
Kyle O'Reilly tells Renee Paquette that now that he's back, he has to do this thing on his own. And Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, took on Kill Switch for whatever reason.
Because both of them needed TV time and a match because they hadn't had either in about a month and a half.
Yeah, sure.
You gotta earn that check.
Like, yeah, sure.
You posed it. Like, you posed the reason we gave it to you. Like, we also needed filler, obviously, because, like.
But, this was less about the match and more about the anger afterwards, because after Daniel Garcia attempts to make the save and Nick Wayne and Kill Switch lay.
Who won the match?
Oh, on Kill Switch, what did you think? Like, what? Oh, that was the question. I said they had a match. Like, I thought you know who won when I said who they were. After Kill Switch won, obviously.
Hey, bro. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Like, this could have been the day we kicked Kill Switch out of the patriarchy and, like, Daddy Magic with that roll up real quick.
Egregious.
Like, Daddy Magic could have got that quick roll up, just like 1, 2, 3.
Get out my family.
Hey, you got to losing Daddy Magic. Like, yeah,
you gotta go.
Take that, your Daddy Magic. You get out of whatever faction I'm in, baby, or I'm getting out. Either you leave or I'm leaving. Like, no.
But yeah, after the match, Daniel Garcia tried to come and say Daddy Magic, but obviously the patriarchy got the numbers game. And as they're on the ramp celebrating, Adam Copeland comes out and hits Kill Switch and Nick Wayne with chairs. And stops Mother Wayne from low blowing him because I guess Edge has been hit in his lower regions by enough women to know better.
Baby, each and every time I get involved with a woman, it happens. Every time.
And then I proceed to chase Christian all the way out of the arena to the point where Christian steals someone's car and gets away from me.
Committed a crime on live TV, but it's okay.
Adam Copeland makes the challenge for live March 20th in Toronto on Dynamite. Cage versus Copeland 3. I quit match for the TNT title.
Maybe this time in this specific part of Toronto, there'll be a different outcome.
Does Copeland quit again? Because like Edge's last I quit match, he lost.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Hey, baby. Because
right. Could we put Beth on that slab and then Rhea Ripley became the hottest thing in the
Beth on that slab. Send Beth to the slaughter, baby. Like, I quit. Okay, and. Essentially what
basically
happened
like mommy
like, okay, I quit. Okay, you lost the match. And just like still put Beth in that toe real quick.
This is my brutality.
I ain't got new music that night. Well, immediately had to find something else.
But yeah, like I hope we actually put Christian on the verge of quitting. Like I wouldn't mind Christian quitting and then having to crybaby his way into a fourth TNT title race.
How he got this third one is like, it's still just like, hey, bro, like,
because of what skills you know.
I genuinely don't have an answer to that question. But like I said, how he got this reign is still wild. Hey, you no more contender. Let me get that. Like, I appreciate it. Let me go and get that match real quick.
Right. The EVP Bucks first accuse
those gentlemen.
Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the EVP Bucks, the Elite, like as they're finna be known at the end of this statement, come out and first of all claim that Sting and Darby cheated because like having their sons out there who's 6'2", 305 pounds, like they'll bull rope us. Like, that ain't how that happened, Mr. Nicholas, but okay.
I mean, we can't exactly cheat in an ODQ match, but that's a story for another time as well.
Like, baby, so tell that to your EVPs.
They are the EVPs, and you will respect them. I will tell them that. I will send them a very thought out email, and they will get back to me in 3 to 5 business days.
Okay, they also come out and say that they have to indefinitely suspend Hangman Page from the Elite for putting his hands on two officials in that Revolution match.
We also had to suspend Kenny for
Nino. We have fired Kenny Omega from the Elite for failing to show up to work.
For failing to show up to work. Kenny Omega is now fired from the Elite.
And this is the time where I let the viewers, the listeners at home, that one, Kenny Omega is currently suffering from diverticulitis.
And is wildly injured, but obviously cannot show up to work. However, since you have not shown up to work,
all right, fired. So after that, upon hearing that, Eddie Kingston comes out, tells them, you said if I have something bad to say to you guys, I'll get fined, right? Throws money at them. Y'all might as well do it now before being immediately attacked.
Many of the R-Truth money. Through the R-Truth money from the church.
And right when the EVPs were about to hit Kenny Omega with the executive vice president trigger, the coin drops. The Rainmaker.
Kazuchika. The coin dropped and the money fell.
Yes.
Kazuchika Okada is all Elite. And he immediately hit Eddie Kingston with the Rainmaker.
I wouldn't say immediately. Like, we did that little I'ma help you out spot, and then I hugged Eddie from behind. He thought some foo-foo stuff was going on, but then, you know, arm came across the neck, and then, you know, he stopped thinking for a good little minute.
And now we have the corporate Okada as he joins the Elite. Like, that's what it is. Like, corporate Okada, yeah. Kazuchika Okada, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Elite. Like Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, like, the Elite.
That is how they are. Kazuchika Okada, Matthew Jackson, and Nicholas Jackson, the Elite.
Elites. This is going to be hot.
It is.
It's going to be so hot.
It's about to be great.
Chris Statlander lost to a child, and Darby Allin says that after his match,
I'm sorry. We're obviously, I'm not gonna let you breeze by that. I just had to let you think you were, but like, what?
I'm sorry. In women's division action, former AEW Women's World Champion Riho took on Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander lost.
That is not okay. Obviously, she lost to a former Women's World Champion, but Riho is not after a child.
After Stokely Hathaway tried to like introduce a chain into the
Riho
match.
Riho about 30. That is not a child.
Former AEW Women's World Champion took on former TBS Champion Chris Statlander with Riho coming out on top. Darby Allin says,
former Women's World Champion, yes, I came out on top. You can't come out on top because you barely got knees right now. They probably injured again.
Darby Allin says that there's no replacing Sting and he will be vacating the tag team titles. And after his match with Jay White next week, he will be leaving to climb Mount Everest. In an unprecedented scene, we no longer, after this match with Jay White, we no longer have any pillars on TV. Like, MJF is currently off TV. Sammy Guevara and Jack Perry are all formally suspended.
Jack Perry is a NJPW wrestler. That suspension cute for y'all to tell other people, but like, I've canonically had, I'm in a faction over here, babes. Like,
I'm saying, now Darby finna go climb Mount Everest. We may or may not ever see him again.
Okay, wow.
That is what he said. Like, he's going to climb Mount Everest. We legitimately may or may not see him again.
He can come back.
He can. Or he can't. It's Mount Everest. Like this ain't no storyline. The man, Darby Allin, says he is leaving to climb Mount Everest and told us we may not see him again. So to actual date, Darby Allin's last match for a minute is about to be against Jay White.
Oh, wow. This is going to be... Okay.
Somebody going to say what happened to Darby Allin. Just going to play his music. I fail.
Okay. Oh boy, Joe. This later brings out Jay White, who says Darby shouldn't have this match. He should just come join the Bang Bang Sisters game. We got a nickname for you and all that. Boy, Austin Cinder just so sad.
Austin still has every member of the Bang Bang Sisters gang, including the cardboard cutout of Juice Robinson.
Which Darby Abrolup said, like, I've heard all this Jay White hype, and I don't believe it, because what have you done since being here? Played with cardboard cutouts? Nah, bro. Like, if you really going to be him, show me next week. If you are the catalyst, prove it, because, like, I don't see it.
Be Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, and Kazuchika Okada in a four-way, but, like, I guess that just don't matter. It's okay. It's cool. It's whatever, babe. It's all right. And that's fine. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not crashing through real glass, but, like, it's okay, babes. Like, everybody ain't got to paint half of their face to be miniaturable, but, like... Be three of the best. Like, you won't see it. You don't see it because it's still black paint on your face. But it's okay, babes.
And in the main event, and just for a casual another 5-star match, Will Ospreay took on Kyle Fletcher.
Just clocked in for another fiver.
United Empire boys clashing. Cali family members clashing. And like I said, like, Will Ospreay just out here for the love of it, putting on great television match. Kyle Fletcher, the ROH television champion, no slouch in this match either. Especially kicking out of that, I don't call the front forward one of a hidden blade. That's going to be a forearm swing. Like, hidden blade got to come from the back.
You can call it a forearm. Cool. The bone on the elbow still connected. Like, you can call it
especially because on the one that I hit on the front, I still had the elbow pad on. The one I put Kyle Fletcher away with, however.
It wasn't nothing hidden about it. But
the hidden, if it ain't hidden, it ain't a hidden blade. It's just a blade.
The running elbow is called the hidden blade.
Nah, baby, you got to get me shouted across the back.
If I give you that one across the back and you kick out, that just means two more across the back.
I was like, because Kyle Fletcher kicked out the one across the front and then fell to the one across the back. Well, not actually, it went to his back because he looked at him while he did it. But, like, you know, the elbow pad was off, so, you know, I wound that thing up and put it on Mr. Fletcher.
Just did it on him. Still my UE brother, though.
And that was AEW Dynamite and Revolution. That was our AEW programming for the week outside of Collision. We might do our first Collision review next week. Keep it locked. Now that we're on 10 episodes, we can switch it up a little bit. So, going to start covering Collision in place of NXT. Obviously, I will talk about NXT Roadblock, Stand and Deliver when it comes up. But for the next 10 episodes after this, we will be putting our fifth show focus on Collision, especially since we record on Sundays. Anyway, hooray!
You sound so enthused.
Because now I get to watch Collision, because I really be meaning to watch Collision, but never do, because I don't know what I'll be doing on Saturdays.
Neither. Bro, same. I'll just be looking at my phone like, so this had, oh, wow, whole wrestling show. All right. Supposed to be watching that.
Let me ask you this then. I'm pretty sure it was on Collision. Christian and his boys was surrounding the ring or whatever against Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam had something in that briefcase. What do you think? If you've seen it or know about it, what do you think was in the briefcase? I saw the look.
It was from this week?
Yeah.
So from last night, I'll have to go check.
Oh, I was just wondering, though. But, yeah. That stuck out.
It's a picture of both of them with long hair and some sunglasses. He's running away from Flash his past.
So yeah, we're gonna start getting into the Collision thing. All right, let's get into the dubs so we can wrap it up. Go talk about what happened in the WWE starting on Monday Night Raw.
I want to do something that I did last week. I want to see if it worked this time. You guys want to talk about SmackDown first this time?
I mean, hey, bro, why not?
Because remember last week we were talking
last week we just kept going back.
You know what? Sure, we'll talk about SmackDown because the only thing that happened on Raw is that we now know there will be a gauntlet match for the Intercontinental Championship, number one contendership. Next week, the winner of that gauntlet match will go on to WrestleMania to face Gunther.
It's going to be a beast of a match.
And
that's basically the only thing that happened on
that
Raw.
That was Raw in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen.
That was Raw in a nutshell because everything else was tuning into SmackDown. Like, Drew McIntyre won his match against Jey Uso. Sami Zayn beat Ivar.
Yeah, man.
Okay. And Andrade debut against Apollo Crews, if you care about that.
Nah, just like I said Monday, where the hell has Apollo Crews been?
Forgot he still had a job. When I saw Andrade versus Apollo Crews, I was like, That man forgot you returned, forgot you still here.
That man had to put his sandwich down and come go out there that ring and wrestle. It was wild.
Good for him.
Could have let that man eat.
Like, seriously, dude, that was hilarious. I was like, what?
So yeah, we'll talk about SmackDown. Then we'll talk about NXT Roadblock, then we get out of here. But yeah, like, clip notes from Raw, Drew McIntyre beat Jey Uso because Jimmy is a hater. And Sami Zayn beat Ivar, Andrade returned. And more dysfunction between Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan and Nia Jax.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Cry about it.
Like, because Seth and Cody Rhodes both basically just told us to watch SmackDown, so that's what we did.
Moving on.
So, are you ready? Like, so we're going to do NXT last, because it was technically a premium live event that we just had on free TV.
Yeah.
So, Friday Night SmackDown kicked off with United States Champion Logan Paul announcing that Prime has partnered with WWE to be its first official center ring sponsor, starting at WrestleMania and every premium live event.
I afterwards. Agree with you. What's going on at this table right now? I agree with you.
You don't like, y'all don't like that?
I can't lie to you, bro. Nah, man. Nah.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm more cool with this than I am with Pizza Hut and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Man, you might as well bring
Mountain
back.
Mountain Dew Pitch Black.
I'll put a sticker on the ring.
TNA showed me it ain't nothing to put a 5-hour energy bottle on these aprons and stuff.
I'm not finna put Sol Ruka in a giant piece of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and have her dance on the outside of this ring no more.
Sol Ruka was the suit. That's adorable.
Yeah, that was Sol Ruka. Nor am I about to just have the Slim Jim ring surround my matches, baby. Like, y'all forgetting, like, we are advertising tycoons over here, baby. Like this prime bottle is the smallest thing we done
did. And, like, bro, like, and then, like, bro, like, y'all gonna act like the Octagon ain't got Monster Energy in the middle of that thing. Like, bro, like, a center ring sponsor is not bad.
I was like, at first I didn't like it because it was a big bottle of prime.
I'm sorry, my bad. Oh, I don't have a problem with there being advertising in the center. Oh, you I just chose you it mad, could be a mad. Better product.
I mean, Prime good. Like, I have nothing.
First of all,
they got a shining endorsement in the middle of the ring. Randy Orton's right there and said, "This is very good." Hey, that's all it take.
Then the co-founder of Prime is also our current United States champion.
Hey, bro.
Like,
had to get it.
Like, you got to get these bags where they bagging it. Like,
are we losing money there?
We're not losing money. We're just that much more publicly traded now. Like,
Yeah. Like, another revenue stream. I already know what you're saying. I just honestly thought they would have did it with something else. I thought they would have did it with something else before this. You know, that's the deal. That's my deal. Like, make the money.
Logan Paul took advantage of that. Like, I know y'all ain't like I know that this nigga got like Modelo sponsors this ring, Monster sponsors this ring, Da 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 sponsors this ring. Let me sponsor the WWE.
Hey, baby, y'all ring look a little empty. Let me put a stick on that real quick.
Prime bottle right there.
Just put that little plastic.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Randy Orton comes out and interrupts the celebration and ultimately RKO's KSI, which then leads into our opening tag team contest of Kevin Owens and Randy Orton versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. This is all still off the back of Theory and Waller finding it hilarious that Randy Orton got knocked out with the brass knuckles at the Elimination Chamber. And, you know, Kevin Owens just doesn't like either of them. So, tag team match.
Who does Kevin Owens like?
Sammy. He tolerating Randy right now.
The list is very short.
Like, list is very short.
Like, KO just talk about who he don't like, baby. Like, we don't care. Like, just wrestle. Like, you ain't got to like nobody. It's all right.
I'm saying, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton getting the win off the pop-up RKO.
Which did not read. That move did not read how they wanted it to, but it was okay. Yeah.
After the match, Logan Paul tries to get the jump on both of them, attempts to attack them with the brass knuckles, for Randy Orton just straight boots games them off his hand.
Just like, hey, give me that. Come here. Nah.
Like, almost hits Kevin Owens when trying to hit Logan Paul. They stare down there, Randy Orton, just like, oh, my bad, bro. I ain't trying to hit you. Just, you know, then just takes.
Drops him in the chops.
Like, just takes Logan's brass nuts, just drop him around. But, hey, we good. See, we good, KO. Bayley vows to destroy damage control, Naomi feels bad for her. Bianca could care less.
Yes. Gave two you-know-whats about that.
Like, or Bianca gave a flying fat baby like, about it.
Like, Bianca like, Naomi, you weren't here, but if you were, like, they would have did, like, I don't...
The same girl, thing to you, baby girl.
Basically, that promo comes on, like, girl.
Exactly.
Girl.
And like, and just left. But I cannot wait for Naomi to help Bayley.
I'm saying because like good luck to her at Mania or whatever. I don't know. I said it like that was wild. Like I was like, well, good luck to her at Mania, I guess. I don't know. I said it by like.
And you doing what at Mania, sweetheart? Like, what's your plans? What you got going on? Got your gear planned out yet for your match? Oh. Like, but can't wait for Naomi to go help out Bayley next week. Like, it's gonna be great.
That's all it's gonna be.
Like, cannot wait. Not that does much, because it's still four active females. You know, dog walking one. Like, we can dog walk two just as easily. Can't wait for Bianca to come in. Or, you know,
reluctantly.
Charlotte, Bianca, Naomi.
Oh, you think we bringing Charlotte back already? That ain't in yet.
She got nine months, bro.
But there's your match.
Oh, I was definitely just going to say
Naomi and Bianca for the women's tag.
I'm glad we all came to this agreement at this one table at the same time.
Immediately, the tag match was there, but I put Charlotte in a little bit too abruptly. But yeah, tag match, the tag titles in there. That's Bianca WrestleMania playing right there.
Hey, especially like Jay going for EO.
This is
nice don't matter no more.
No. It's not that the nice don't matter. This is wild for Naomi. This is quite wild. We brought you back and gave you the bill that you dropped. Like, here you go, sweetheart.
Pick it back up. We got stuff to do.
Here you go.
Vince like,
just
there, take,
like, just gonna replace the blue with the red. Like, what? Powerpuff Girl got out of.
Like, I lie,
cause you still out here in green. So, like,
here you go. Like, I'm gonna put that bill right back on.
Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross were putting on a pretty decent match until, you know, we're just. Ended in another no contest because AOP don't know how to sit down.
I mean, they ain't doing nothing else, as in matches.
So I'm guessing we're just gonna get a 8-person tag team match at WrestleMania between the Pride and the Final Testament. I guess is where this is headed. I don't see where else this is going.
Yeah, man. The way they just threw the Street Profits out the ring, I was like, wow, really, man.
Those men are tripping cry on tag team champions. Tiffany Stratton therefore have peaked.
Definitely have peaked. Like, and therefore have peaked, babe. That's it.
SmackDown NXT.
I'll say Tiffany Stratton took on Meechan and won.
Obvious.
AJ Styles said that he flew all the way around the world to batter that man, LA Knight, with a chair. It's because LA Knight needs to learn what respect is, because, like, basically did snub me. Like, on my return, like, getting over on Roman Reigns, got you a title match off of my name. So, like, yeah, I'm going to teach you respect. Dragon Lee defeated Angel Garza, but was then attacked by Legado del Fantasma because Dragon Lee is allegedly the next Rey Mysterio or whatever, and we hate Ray.
Beat up John Cena.
Like, Legado del Fantasma. Beat up Rey Mysterio.
Yep. That's our plan of action here. Wilder, we also beat up people that look like Rey Mysterio, but like, it's okay.
And in our 20-minute main event, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins said yes to the Bloodline Challenge.
And then they talked about it. They insulted each other, and then the TV went off.
Mr. Midlife Crisis was disrespectful.
Was true. Respectful, but true.
And then, like, first of all, like, the fact that Monday on Raw, Seth Rollins said we're gonna start to like call him Diarrhea Dwayne midway through this SmackDown promo.
Diarrhea.
And boy, they lapped it up.
Yeah.
But once again, the challenge for WrestleMania Night One: Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. If Cody and Seth win, the Bloodline will be barred from Night 2's main event of Cody versus Roman for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. If and when the Bloodline win, according to The Rock, before Diarrhea Chance, when the Bloodline win, it's Bloodline rules. And, you know, Cody's little story, you know, just go get me.
Okay.
Yes or no?
You being real? You being real? Rock levels of disrespectful right now. I ain't gonna stand for Cody Rhodes.
And Seth Rollins accepted the challenge with Roman Reigns saying, "Like, dog, you gonna let the cross dresser make your decisions for you?" When he calls Seth Rollins a cross dresser, I was done.
I've been telling you for the longest that Seth Rollins is winning this season of RuPaul's Drag Race, but it's okay.
Like that's cute, but like you could have called him a dress. Like just straight up call Seth Rollins a cross dresser.
Called him a queen.
Oh man!
And then you know Cody got his little slap back or whatever. Take that, Dewey.
That man said your siblings are 20 years older than you because you were a mistake, and that got him slapped.
First of all, shout out to Teal and to Dustin. Like shout out Teal and Dustin while we was in Dallas because Teal and Dustin are from Dallas. Dusty Rhodes is from Dallas. Everybody else from Austin. Dusty from Austin. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Cody from Georgia, so like them were him people, but they were him people. And yeah, that's our WWE road to WrestleMania. Let's talk about these people in the black and gold. And we start NXT Roadblock off with an Asylum match between Dijak and Joe Gacy. This is like coming off the heels of their was it just like a no DQ match at Vengeance Day or a street fight?
It was a no DQ match.
Just regular no DQ?
Yes, sir.
So this week we had an Asylum match.
Which basically just means weaponized ring.
Weaponized steel cage.
Okay. Mm.
Like good old lethal lockdown. You feel me?
There it is.
Like for my TNA people, we know what's going on here.
I was just finna say, like, we know what these other names mean because we watch wrestling.
But yeah, this time, Dijak decided to be the one to take advantage of the duct tape when I just, you know, wrapped this thing completely around Joe Gacy.
Like, body, face, all that. Just like, here you go.
Like, threw him through a door at one point.
Moonsaulted off the top of the cage.
Moonsaulted off the top of the cage from Dijak was agreed. Like, boy.
Beautiful.
I say egregious because he's too tall. I'd be thinking, like, the tall people going to break their knees.
Oh, dude. That is athletic.
Joe had a little extra fluff from the knees. Like, we all right.
Okay.
Joe looks dirty, man. Like, I feel on top. Like, it was all right.
But the closing sequence was what really did it for me because, like, the immediate get up off the first Feast your eyes.
All right. Just rolled up and looked at that man.
Got up and made a run for him, but like as soon as I ducked, come here, get the second one. Like two Feast Your Eyes later, Dijak comes out on top of this feud. Keep in mind that Dijak lapped this man Joe Gacy in a straitjacket a couple weeks ago. That man ain't still ain't
shit. That man got out of the straitjacket a couple weeks ago. Like Joe Gacy came down there like ripping himself out of that jacket to beat up Dijak.
I'm saying the D'Angelo family welcomed Luca Crucifino into the family.
Was just about to bring that up because that was the match. That was the match with Luca Crucifino where Luca used that little crowbar that, you know, was strategically hidden by a strategic flaming.
I'm saying, you're going to use my crowbar. You're going to be in this family. No questions asked. I need you.
Lay consigliarity.
Like, so welcome Luca Crucifino to the family. He's going to play some big parts in the weeks to come.
That NXT fashion banging, like, the family got it.
The family definitely has it.
They in here.
In our first championship match of the night, the Wolf Dogs, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, took on Chase U for the NXT Tag Team Championships. This, of course, thanks to JC Jane going and getting this match did. JC
Jane.
Who is obviously just turning heel now that I'm going to say the school.
I mean, yeah.
I
saved the school. Yeah, like you just said, I saved the school and I'm going to run it because I saved it. My money went into this, so, like, it's my school.
Like, my time, my money, my ideas, I got y'all this tag team match. Like,
my time, my money, my idea, my school, Chase U, like.
But this was a good match for Chase U, but obviously the night not belong to them after the end of days spirit combination. I'm not going to be Vic Joseph and say Deep Six. It was the end of days spear combination that put them down. After the match, a very angry Thea Hale storms off to the back and apparently gets into an altercation with Kiana James and Izzy Dane, resulting in a tag team match being made for next week where Thea Hale thinks that JC Jane is going to be her tag team partner. JC Jane says, nah.
I know.
Like, and
walks you got off a tag team match. All right, you're my partner. No.
And walks off with the new girl. I forgot her name, but they said her name.
Walks off laughing with new girl.
Like, so yeah, like, Jason Jane just mean girl this girl on Thea Hale for like 5 months, like, whatever.
Yeah, essentially.
Led you on IHOP, thought you were people.
IHOP, thought you had a friend.
Like loser. Sean Spears made his in-ring return to NXT or debut or however you choose to look at it.
Boy, I was finna be on you because Sean Spears never wrestled for this company.
Ty Dillinger, Sean Spears, Perfect 10, Chairman, whatever you want to call him.
Ty Spears had a match on NXT.
Against Uriah Connors and like
who?
Basically like some jobber who got did into it Death Valley Driver. So like
the C4 spike, because I know Josh Alexander apparently.
And it wasn't a spike. It wasn't a spike, it was just C4.
Well, the C4, because you know, us Canadians and you know Dinamite, like gotta blow you up somehow.
Like I said, just put them down real quick. Afterwards, I told Real Charlie to come out to embrace the hate. I mean embrace the I mean, embrace the rage.
I need you to embrace some etiquette, like, right now.
This ain't nothing but John Cena and Kane. Like, this is... Oof. Man, embrace the rage, Rich. Come on, hit me with the chip. Move, refs. Don't stop him. Let him hit me. Like...
Ooh, boy, he gonna give him that dome in the coat that he gave Cody and AEW. Like, he gonna go backstage hurting. Cody canonically said Sean is one of the worst people to work with after that, but loved every second of it. Like, he gonna give him that pink...
But yeah, next week they'll have a match, Embrace the Hate and all that.
That's not the name of this promo, but okay.
The Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, made their way down to NXT to defend the women's tag team titles against NXT Women's Champion Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley. Started to have a little good showing from Paxley and Lyra, but obviously the miscommunication was in, and the Kabuki Warriors took advantage with the reverse DDT Insane Elbow combination. But the story after the match is Roxanne Perez coming out big mad, attacking Lyra, throwing her shoulder into two posts, and then seemingly breaking it out of socket along that bottom turnbuckle. She heel now. I guess she won a one-on-one title match because like she feels like she definitely deserves that one-on-one title match.
I mean, when you lose opportunity after opportunity to go after the title.
I didn't lose. Lola Vice lost.
Okay. Okay, like you seem real aggy about Lola Vice. It's okay, but like I was saying, like when you lose opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, like baby, maybe the title ain't for you.
Like, so title I never lost.
Okay, you had it. Move on. Like
I want it.
No.
Like why am I here if I don't want to be a champion?
You were a champion,
and I wanted that because I never lost it.
Why not go to the main roster and go be one of them?
Why not give me my title back?
Why not win one of these opportunities we've given you to get it back?
Oh, I did. Like I won the last opportunity y'all had to get it back, and some little Latina in a contract came out here and interrupted my shine. So like now I got to book up on everybody because y'all keep playing with me.
Can't wait.
Y'all think because I'm 5'3" that I won't run off on y'all, but I will.
Can't wait for her to lose this match because boy, it's gonna be egg on her face.
Fallon Henley defeated Blair Davenport after a returning Sol Ruka interfered, hit a nice little cartwheel DDT on Blair. Because you know Blair Davenport is single-handedly responsible for taking out the entirety of the NXT women's division.
The entirety of the NXT
women's division. Like a year ago. So like everybody like, just come back to get their like, Gucci back on.
Like Blair put the hoodie up and like win edits.
So like now she reaping what she sow. Like good job, Fallon.
I hope Sol don't go the way of Nikita, because Nikita came back to get that Blair get back and immediately got injured.
At the hands of Blair
immediately got re-injured after Blair injured her the first time. So like Sol baby, like showing up with a knee brace was a bad move because Blair just gonna go hit it. I'm just gonna kick that knee.
We find out in a backstage segment between Josh Brooks and Brooks Jensen that Brooks Jensen will face Oba Femi next week for the North American Championship. Dijak said, you know you wrong for letting him go out there and have that match. Dijak see Sean Brooks like, talk some good luck lying to that boy.
Dijak got issues with everybody backstage, baby.
Like, look at Josh Reed. Good luck. You see, talk to that show brother lying to that boy. No, he ain't got a shot in the fleece. Fighting Oba Femi. Obafemi gonna throw that.
Obafemi told y'all like Obafemi told y'all either last week or the week before. If you send somebody for this belt, make sure it's somebody you don't want back. And you told that man good luck. You don't like him.
You don't like him for real.
Go ahead. Maybe you could hit that ripcord clothesline right then and just went out for that match. Like, because who?
Ooh. After winning the NXT Heritage Cup, Charlie Dempsey and the No Quarter Catch crew come out and basically say that they will be defending the cup under catch rules, aka Freebird rules. Like they gonna choose which, like when the bell ring, they'll choose who's defending the cup.
When the bell ring, we gonna count to like 10, and then three of us gonna step back, and one of us gonna be right there looking like he got picked first for the dodgeball team, right. And then he gonna get a match.
Which then brings out William Regal. So William Regal, and tells the No Quarter Catch crew that this Heritage Cup represents the prestige of European wrestling, all the men and women before me. So y'all please represent this championship, this cup, with the heritage and prestige it deserves.
I'm about to cut your mic off.
Like. Charlie Dempsey steps up to his daddy and say, I'll defend this cup better than you ever could. Boom, boom, boom. That's when we're going to music before you leave.
I'm about to cut your mic off.
So, yeah. What I found most egregious in this segment is that there's a young man in this faction. His name Milborn. He deaf. They gave him a microphone. Like, and they know they weren't going
to
let him say
because deaf translates to not talking?
Apparently, because like, he didn't say nothing.
Y'all ain't finna talk about me like that. We've heard.
Who said anything about talking about you? We said we're gonna let you. So you're immediately gonna talk about the deaf kid when he opened his mouth. That's what we just heard.
That ring full of people, yes. Because the first thing it was gonna say is we can't hear you. Then it was gonna reverberate. He wasn't gonna be able to hear it. So exactly.
So why I'm gonna move on. And in the main event, Tony D'Angelo took on Carmelo Hayes with the winner going on to stand and deliver this WrestleMania weekend to face Ilya Dragunov for the NXT Championship. And, you know, this pretty standard TV match between Carmelo Hayes and Tony D'Angelo. Obviously, we knew this was going to be more angled than match with the amount of time they were given because they only had, like, what, 12 minutes? And it had to go through a commercial break. Carmelo Hayes looked like he was going to get the upper hand before, you know, Trick Williams music played through the arena, causing enough of distraction from Carmelo's security. And for Carmelo, for Tony D to hit the spine buster and the forget about it neck breaker for the win. But being a very given Don,
yes,
he lets Carmelo know that he has a present for him because he was responsible for the Trick Williams music playing. Tony D got Carmelo and the crowd a present. It was the return of Trick Williams. What that trick?
And he beat his.
I'm talking about Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam, the way Carmelo was selling for the streak. That was
funny. Boy, that jump at that turnbuckle was so wild. Yeah. Man, baby jumped at you and you almost flew outside the ring. Boy. Carmelo almost eliminated himself from the Royal Rumble.
But boy, that corkscrew kid that won them security guards ate dog.
That Trick Seguri, like, it was in there. It was banging.
But yes, sir. Tony D is going to stand and deliver, and Trick Willie is back. Now, the real question. Tony D said that the main event scene has revolved around Dragunov, Melo, and Trick for 8 months. Now that Tony D's family is starting to be complete, is it Tony D'Angelo's time at this NXT championship?
Absolutely. Wholeheartedly. That man that built.
Like I said, like the completion of the faction now means that he's definitely staying for a while, unless we're just about to immediately throw them up the feud with Legato, and I don't need that. But yes, this
cut your mic off.
You know they'll do something stupid like that in an instant.
Yeah, because Diamond Mine ain't doing that. But like, cut your mic off.
But yeah, I'm excited for Tony D'Angelo. I actually hope he. If Tony D'Angelo is going to beat Ilya Dragunov, boy, the feather in that fedora, it's going to be massive.
That means I ain't losing this belt for a while on the same train of Ilya beating Gunther. I'm holding this belt for a minute
until I say so,
or someone comes
do it because I say so.
Who's worthy of it? seriously.
But yes, that was this week in wrestling. Very interesting stuff as we are still on the road to WrestleMania with that sharp left in it. So that Hall of Fame booming, AEW is about to enter its new silver age. We about to get into AEW prime now, because boy, we got people like look at the main event scene now compared to when we started. Like, we moved on from the Elite and Chris Jericho and John Moxley and the likes. So now we with Swerve, Samoa Joe, Kazuchika Okada, Will Ospreay, Deonna Purrazzo.
the time.
I forgot Swerve said that he got on Britt Baker's second phone number in his pocket when he was talking to Adam Cole. That was egregious. Like, if you look like you look cute in your little manager garb, if you're looking for some more clients, I got Britt Baker's second phone number in my pocket. Like,
second phone number is wild.
Like, say that to Adam Cole.
Unneeded and unnecessary is what all that was.
Skirt, skirt. Like, what?
Top rope.
All right, gentlemen, any final thoughts that you would like to share with the people? We're going to start with JQ, Quan Deniable.
Just keep watching wrestling. Whichever one you want to watch, just do it. Yeah.
OG Taurus C?
Just going to sit back and watch, continue to watch the growth of AEW. Because, like you said, dude, from where they started to where they are now.
All right, my final thought, I just want to send congratulations up to the performers at TNA. They also put on their Sacrifice pay-per-view Friday. Shouts out to the new tag team champions, The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, for defeating Chris Bay and Ace Austin of the ABC. Then also shouts out to Jody Threat and Danny Luna for obtaining the Knockouts tag team championships from MK Ultra. Congratulations to you all, and congratulations to Alex Hammerstone, who got the up on Josh Alexander and Alexander vs. Hammerstone 2. Like, insert Steiner Mass Sacrifice promo here. But for those watching wrestling, and on behalf of the Reaper and the Quan Deniable One, I am SWS ZJ Pierce. Once again, signing off as a nerd, RP Torium, Dragon Ball Z for life. We nerds watching wrestling.